In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, today is January 1st, year 2009. It's a feast day to circumcision, and we're a year closer to the end of the world when Christ comes a second time. And I invoke the special help of the infant Jesus and to give me all the graces and all the help I need and explaining the mysteries of the Book of the Apocalypse and all these end time signs, along with the special intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, and St. John, and St. Daniel, and St. Joel, and St. Isaiah, and all the other prophets and saints that have spoken about these final days. All right. Now today we're just going to read through the Book of Apocalypse, chapter 1. And that's when John was the first revelation that he was given at Patmos. And there's a lot going on in chapter 1. And then from chapter 1, then we go into his other books. But this was the actual first revelation that was given to John. And in here, you're going to see some of the events we've been talking about. And as we go along, too, I'm going to have a chart of all these events that we've already been laying out, the period, time period when these things happen, so people can actually see when these things take place. And you can actually point to them and say, here's where this takes place, you know. So John's going to be telling us quite a few things in chapter 1. You're going to see one thing that's happening here as before I go into it. You're going to see an angel of the Lord is revealing these first part of these messages to St. John, but he's speaking in the name of God. So the angel will say, I am the Alpha and Omega. He's God speaking through the angel. Then you're going to see in the last part of Apocalypse 1, then Christ himself appears to John, and he bows down before Christ, and he adores Christ, and Christ doesn't tell him, get up. Mm-hmm. Don't do this, because he is Christ. You'll hear that. And then Christ himself puts his right hand on John, probably on his head, John, and then starts talking to John, Christ himself, not just Christ speaking through the angel. But the first part, he's speaking through the angel to John. Now we start out with verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to make known to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and signified, sending by his angel to his servant John, who hath given testimony to the word of God, and that testimony of Jesus Christ, what things soever he hath seen. John's telling you, I'm recording things I have seen firsthand witness. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written in it. For the time is at hand. Now he's saying that blessed are you that read this and that hear this. So it's a very holy thing. It's a very important thing. He's talking about this prophecy. And indeed, the Catholic Church made it part of her canonical scriptures. Infallible. So that's how important this book is. There's no book in the Bible that could ever be said not valuable or not useful. They all are. And if you don't read the scriptures, that's where the church gets one of the fonts of revelation is the written traditions in the Bible and the oracles of the apostles. That's where we get all our dogmas. Then we read in verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him that is and that was and that is to come. And from this, okay, now that's Jesus Christ. Okay, he that is, he is, he was before the incarnation. He that was, now when he means was, he means Christ as man was now crucified, okay? And he's not on earth anymore, okay? He that is, he that was, and he that is to come. So, what is saying? He that is saying Christ is God. Mm-hmm. He that was means he was born of the Virgin Mary, made man, and crucified, and then ascended into the heaven. So he is no more on earth. So he was on earth. He's no longer on earth. And then it says, and then he that is to come, he will come back on earth again. That's what's being mentioned here. He is God from all eternity. He was made man and died for us, ascended into heaven. Now he's not on earth anymore. And he that is to come during the second coming. So this is a reference to Jesus Christ himself. And it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Those seven spirits are seven angels that are standing before the throne of Christ. And those seven churches, Asia, he's talking about the seven churches in Asia, which was actually Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. And that's where seven of the major churches were. And these seven churches are symbolic of churches throughout the whole world. And each one needs a different type of admonishment because each one's doing something not quite perfect in one way, another in another way. Some are better than others and some are really rotten. So these seven churches, you can really represent churches throughout the whole world as it expands. And God's given warnings to these churches. And through these, when the apocalypse goes throughout these churches, of course, and it goes throughout the whole world too, eventually, because it. And but so that's what the seven churches are here, and these are the seven angels that are before the throne that he sees that are before the throne of Christ are the seven angels who are the protectors of those churches. The angel, each church has an angel protecting it. Now, when he's talking about churches here, he's talking about the church at Ephesus. He's really talking about diocese. That's like a diocese. He's not talking about one church in Ephesus. He's talking about all the churches in Ephesus, or in Thyatira, Sardis, or Philadelphia, Laodicea. He's now talking to the diocese, that whole area, all the churches in that area. But he refers to it as a church. That would be like saying in the Newark Archdiocese in New Jersey, the Church of Newark. Mm-hmm. Speak this to the Church of Newark, the Newark Diocese. He means all those churches. Mm-hmm. Which means you'd be speaking to the bishop too of that area. So now we have seven angels also before Christ, and it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And there you go. There's another direct. Obviously, that's Jesus Christ that's being spoken of here. He redeemed us, and he hath made us a kingdom and priests to God and his Father. To him be glory, empire, forever and ever. Amen. Empire. Even now, even though God allows Satan to control this world as the king of this world, Christ is still a king over this whole world, even now. Even now, Satan cannot get anything that he wants unless he goes to Christ and asks him, "Can I get this? Can you give me this? Can I do that? Can I put that bug on Rich's back to annoy him like it just..." He's got to ask God for Christ. So Christ really still is the King of Kings. He's still ruling this earth even, but he allows the devil to have a rule of this earth because people chose it. That's why they're saying to him be empire king. And he also says that all those who are serving God and are faithful to God, he calls them priests. That's not priests in the strict sense of sacrament of the priesthood, which is the sacrament of orders. But every Catholic in a way is considered a priest because by his prayers he's offering sacrifice to God. So that's what he said. We are all made priests. Men and women. And that's priest used in the non-literal sense. There's two ways the term priest is used. You'll see that quite often through the scriptures even. And he says, "And he hath made us a kingdom of priests to God and to the Father." And that's what you'll read. That's what the commentary says on that. Then it says, verse 7, "Behold," listen to this. Now we're going right up to the part where Christ appears in heaven. Remember, we were talking about after the 3 days of darkness, and Christ appears in heaven like lightning from east to the west with his army lighting up the whole earth? Listen to what he says in verse 7 here. "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall bewail themselves because of him." Even so, amen. There it is. He now fast forward and say, "See this Lamb who was crucified for you, who reigns in heaven now? He will come again. And when he comes again, he will come in the clouds, and everybody on earth will see him. And the apostate Jews who still down to today deny him will look upon him whom they pierced. And it says, not just the Jews, he says, every tribe is looking upon him. And what does it say they're doing? They're bewailing themselves. They're not rejoicing. Which means these are the ones, like we said before, when Christ is mopping up the world and he's gathering together the wicked to kill them. Because we're not going to be bewailing. We're going to be rejoicing in that day. I hope we are. I hope we are. I hope we stay faithful. But the elect who are in a state of grace are going to be rejoicing. Look what John's saying, though. So many people are so rotten, he doesn't even talk about the elect here. He just says, there's going to be so many. We said, brothers, I think only 0.1% of the people in the whole world are going to convert. That means 99%, let's just say not 1% for the sake of argument. That means 99% of the world is going to be bewailing themselves, moaning and groaning and running in rocks and running in caves. Let's read that again. Here's the beloved John. He's saying, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also that pierced him." That's when the Jews are going to go, uh-oh, that's him. He was the Messiah. He's the true Christ. And the Protestants are going to be looking at him and saying, he's the Catholic Christ. Because they're going to know he's the Catholic Christ. They're going to then know the Christ that these people believe in is false. The Protestants even. And the Greek schismatics and the Russian Orthodox are going to see that it's not their Christ. He's going to have clearly the marks of the Catholic Christ. And they're going to know they're in their own damnation. In particular, the Jews, all they got to do is look at him and see his wounds. Mm-hmm. And then know it's Christ because his name's written on his thigh. You read about that all before. And they're going to look at him and go, there he is. Him whom we denied. You know? So it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. and they also that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall bewail themselves because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, that's a divinity verse of Christ. Because God the Father always is in heaven. You can never say he was in a sense he was never made man. The Son was made man. That's Christ we're talking about. I'm the Alpha and Omega. He is. He was always God even before his incarnation. He was made man in the womb of the Virgin Mary and died and ascended into heaven. And he is to come again on the second time. The Almighty. There's that Jesus Christ is God. Refutes the Arians and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. So many divinity verses are laced in here. You're going to really see them in this chapter even. And he says, now that's the angel talking. God speaking through the angel saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God will open up the angels and speak right through the angel or a prophet. Then it goes into verse 9. It says, I, John, your brother and your partner in tribulation in the kingdom and the patience of Christ Jesus, was in the island which is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He's now telling you where the revelation is being given to him. And he's saying he's on Patmos. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as if a trumpet. The Lord's Day. This refutes the seven-day Adventist heresy that the Sabbath day was not transferred over to Sunday, which is the first day of the week, which is now called the Lord's Day. Here St. John was saying the Lord's Day, a special day. They call it the Lord's Day. All right? And the Catholic Church transferred that day from Saturday to Sunday to show in a new era, a new covenant era. We've now replaced the old covenant. We have new sacraments. We're given a new name. And we also now have a new Sabbath day. The Catholic Sabbath day is now on Sunday, the first day of the week, called the Lord's Day. And they don't call it the Sabbath day anymore, although it is the Sabbath day transfer, but to distinguish, they call it the Lord's Day. Here's another reference and we have many references where the Sabbath day was transferred. This is one of them. And 11, it says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and heard behind me a great voice as if a trumpet, saying, "What thou seest, write in a book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia." Now he lists the seven churches: to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamos and Thyatira, and to Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. We're already beginning to see back then we had a structure of dioceses already. When he's saying churches, he's using a small C, not big C. There's only one church. Our Lord says in Matthew 18:17-18, he will not hear the church, let it be a heathen and publican. That's the Catholic Church. All these are small churches where people come together who belong to the Catholic Church. It's clear. And each one's referred to as a church in each area, although it doesn't mean even any particular church. It means all the churches in that area, the diocese, are being now divided out. And now he goes on and says, "And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle." He's now looking at Christ, you'll see. "And his head and his hair were white, as white wool and as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." So we know, even describe God the Father's here as being woolly white, is white. Now Jesus is here as white. And it says, "And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as in a burning furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and from his mouth came out a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was as the sun shineth in his power." There's the light coming off the face of Christ. We were talking about that. Comes out of Christ. That shines out of him. And it says, "And when I had seen him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and I am the last." So here he is. He's not saying, "Do not do that. I am one of your fellow prophets," or "I am an angel. Do not bow down before me." Now he says, "Stay bowed down because I am Christ." You notice that? And he says, "He laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and alive and was dead." That's Christ speaking to John. There is the Alpha and Omega again, first and last. "And behold, I am living I am living. He says, I was alive, I was dead, and now I'm living. In his humanity, he's saying that. Now see? And behold, I am living forever and ever, and have the keys of death and of hell. Write therefore the things which thou hast seen, and which are, and which must be done hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Okay, so he's talking about that. Each one of those candlesticks represents that diocese he's talking about. And one of the, each star represents an angel who's appointed dominion over that diocese to protect it. So now we know that each diocese has its own angel protecting it. And it also, and he refers to it here as their candlesticks. Candlesticks because each diocese, which consists of several Catholic churches, is a light before the whole world, a candlestick before the whole world. And then John goes on, we're not going to do this now, chapter 2, and in chapter 3, to talk about the different problems there are in these churches. Some of them are worse than others, some are better than others, but he tells them, if you become perfect and get corrected, I'm going to pull the candlestick away and destroy you. That means you're no longer going to be Catholic churches anymore. You're only going to be Catholic in name. And I will pull the candlesticks away. And we're not going to do that now, but you can get into the certain faults and sins of all bad Catholics and even churches that then flip over and become non-Catholic churches in these next two verses. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words and the prophecy of this book. So people say you're not allowed to interpret this, you shouldn't interpret this. John said, you better. And if you do, you'll be blessed. And if you don't read it, you're going to be caught off guard and you deserve it. We see some pretty interesting things in there, as you see. Okay, so are there any other questions then on that? And then we'll end that here then. Okay. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.